This is the Kona Edge, the home of Ironman triathletes who dream of qualifying for the World Championships on the Big Island.
Welcome back. I'm Brad Brown. This is the Kona Edge. Thank you so much for listening, by the way. Much, much appreciated. It's great to have you on board. Before we get into today's podcast, I've been throwing a couple of ideas around with regards to the direction we want to take with the podcast, and I want to get some feedback from you, if that's okay. We've got a Facebook page, and we've got a Facebook group, and if you know anything about Facebook and social media, Facebook in particular have really, I don't want to say they've clamped down, but Facebook pages really aren't getting the message out there as they used to. And if you have a Facebook page for your business, or if you're involved in a business that has a Facebook page, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. They want you to pay to play, so to speak. Facebook groups, on the other hand, are getting a lot of engagement, and we've got a small little Kona Edge Facebook group, but I've been thinking about possibly doing some stuff in that Facebook group, and I'd love for you to get into the Facebook group. Come join me. I'm going to test a couple of things out, and I'd love to know your thoughts. One of the things is obviously Facebook Live, and I do lots of interviews with age groupers, and I also do lots of interviews with pro triathletes for my regular day job, which is, for if you don't know, I'm a radio sports journo here in Cape Town, South Africa. So I do lots of interviews with triathletes, and I don't mind doing more, and I'm thinking of possibly streaming some of them into a live Facebook group. And if that's something you'd be interested in, please pop me a mail, brad@thekonaedge.com. Also, in the show notes to this episode, I'm going to put the link to that Facebook group. If you wouldn't mind clicking on it, I think what I'll do is just head over. If you're not looking at the show notes, go to thekonaedge.com/Facebook. I'll put a little redirect that'll send you to that Facebook group. Get in there, and yeah, let's engage. Let's chat. Let's find out what you would like to hear, and what you'd like to find out, and what I can help you with, because that's what ideally I'd like to do, is grow this community by helping you. So, and the only way I can figure out what you need is if you tell me. So go check it out, thekonaedge.com/Facebook. Please go check it out. Join the group, and let's get chatting. Speaking of chatting, I am so chuffed to be able to welcome our next guest onto the podcast. He is an Ironman age group world champion. He won his age group at Kona 2016. He is an absolute machine. Second visit to Kona last year, and a phenomenal improvement. So we're going to head to Norway right now to catch up with Hans Christian Tungesvik. Enjoy this. I love my chat with Hans Christian, and I think you are going to too. We head to Norway right now, and it's an absolute pleasure to welcome our next guest onto the Kona Edge. And it's a fairly chilly Norway, I might add, as well. Coming to you from a gorgeous Cape Town in South Africa, I am Hans Christian Tungesvik. Welcome onto the Kona Edge. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Brad. Thanks for having me. It's really a pleasure.
Hans Christian, Norway is not, in my mind, I wouldn't think it's a triathlon hotbed, particularly because you guys have brutal winters, but you seem to be producing some great athletes up there. What are you guys doing?
Yeah, you're right. We're not born here to do triathlon, but the sport is growing here, and we for sure have some great endurance athletes. Maybe more in the cross country skiing area, but the sport is growing, and we love triathlon as well.
Yeah, I mean, over the years, correct me if I'm wrong, but Norway's probably been better known for cross country skiing and more winter sort of sports. So triathlon wouldn't, in my mind, be high up on the list. But like you say, it is growing. What's driving the growth of the sport in Norway, do you think?
I think maybe the most important part is the guys between 30 and 50 who wants something new in their life. They have been working for quite some years and want to challenge themselves. Of course, we have the quite well known extreme triathlon, the Norseman, which is really an important motivator for the triathlon in Norway. So, we have some things to go for.
Yeah, let's before we get into your journey into the sport and Ironman and Kona, let's talk about the Norseman. That's, if people haven't heard of it, it's definitely on my list. I want to do that thing. It looks crazy. It's an incredible race. Tell us a little bit about it for someone who possibly hasn't heard of the Norseman. I'll put some links to YouTube videos because if you watch those videos, you want to do this. I get goose flesh just thinking about it. Tell us about the Norseman.
Yeah, it's really one of the bucket list triathlons to do. It's first you start. It's an Ironman distance. You start with a swim in one of the fjords in the western part of Norway. Usually about 12 to 14 Celsius, so it's quite chilly. Then over the beautiful mountains of Norway, four or five really big climbs. An altitude, total altitude of 3,000, more than 3,000 meters above sea level. So, yeah, it's really a tough one. And the marathon is first 25K flat and then 18Ks with a total of 1,700 meters of altitude. So it's quite tough.
You talk about the first 25 flat. It's the first 25 flat, and the next just goes straight up. That's pretty much the route profile.
It's straight into the wall.
Yeah, absolutely. It's an incredible. I'll put some links to videos if you haven't checked it out. Really, really do. But let's talk about you and how you got into the sport. Where did your journey into triathlon start, Hans Christian?
Well, it started in 2013. I tried my first triathlon in with the local the student sports club here in Trondheim, where I'm a student. We swam in a lake at 14 degrees Celsius. I was by far the worst swimmer, the only one without a wetsuit, so it was quite chilly. But I got through it a little bit better on the bike and the run. I finished and I had a really great time. I loved it, and from that moment, I was hooked.
Well, growing up as a young child, were you pretty sporty? I'm taking it you skied growing up, but were you sporty? Did you partake in sort of organized sport as a child?
Yeah, like many other kids in Norway, I did cross country skiing. So I was quite serious up until I was 19 years old. Then I had to stop because I had to go into the military. So after that, I wanted something to try something new. Then I tried triathlon, and that was the thing for me.
did the bug bite straight away after that first one? Did you know that this was it? This is what you were going to do?
Yeah, without a doubt. It was I had always dreamed of a Norseman, but I in some time before that, but I hadn't tried triathlon myself. So when I tried it, I just felt that this was the thing to do. It was so, so cool.
And I find it interesting, too. A lot of people will start out in the sport and think, you know what, I'm going to do a sprint distance, or I want to do an Olympic distance. But like you say, you before you even got into the sport, Norseman was sort of on your mind and it was something you wanted to do. Have you always been attracted to the longer distance stuff, the endurance, not just in triathlon, but with the cross-country skiing and that as well? Do you find you were better at the longer stuff?
Yeah, for sure. I really enjoy the long competitions over a long period of time. As you said, by looking at the videos from that race, it's you really get the goosebumps and you want to try it. So it's just like the dream of finishing a race like that, and also other long distance races that was the dream. And when I tried that first sprint triathlon, I was immediately thinking about the Ironman distance.
How long did it take you to make the step up to an Ironman from that shorter one?
It took about 2 years. Yeah. So the first year I did the half Ironman, and then I tried the full distance.
When did you realize you were pretty good at it?
It was actually in that first full distance. It was in Kalmar in Sweden, an Ironman event. Really nice race. I went there just to get the experience to try the full distance for the first time, and the plan was to come back 1 year later and really go for the Kona slot. Yeah, it went much better than I expected. I got the Kona slots on that first try, so that was really, really cool. And that I knew that I had something going on in long distance triathlon.
Did you know going into that first comp? Were you aware of Kona? How much did you know about it? Was it? I mean, you were saying that you thought we're going to do this, and then next year we'll come back. But you got it. Were you well aware of what was at stake with Kona and what it meant in the sport?
I knew about it, and of course, I had checked I had the slot in the back of my mind, but I thought it was impossible to do it the first time. Yeah, so I knew about it, but I hadn't really the build up for the big dream of Kona wasn't really there yet. But I knew it, and I knew I wanted to do it. So, but it was really a big surprise when I got that slot.
That first Ironman that you did in Kalmar, was it harder than you thought it was going to be? Was it easier? Tell me about your first experience.
Well, yeah, I had, of course, I had quite some respect for the distance. I knew it was going to be hard. And the result in itself was much better than I expected. So in that way, you could say it was easier. But it was more or less like I expected. I knew it was going to be a long day, 9-10 hours, but of course, when I get the message from my support team that this might be going the way, it feels easier than it maybe is. So it was a great experience.
Talk about the support team, and I mean, for someone who's done Ironman, it's hard. It's many hours on the road, on the bike, indoor trainers, in the pool. You need that support around you to get through it. Who's in your corner? Who's part of your support team?
Well, I have really a lot of support. My family, a couple of good friends that really support me along the way. So they mean a lot. They really mean everything. So I can keep doing this, and I. Both in the daily training and also during the competition, so that the support team is really, really important in long distance triathlon. So it's not a one man show here.
You talk about the growth of triathlon in Norway and that age bracket between 30 and 50. I think that's very much a global thing. You still way off that. You're still quite young. Is this going to be part of your life for pretty much as long as you can imagine, or do you see yourself ticking off a couple of boxes and going, you know what, let's move on to something else?
No, I think I really have fallen in love with the sport, and I think I'm going to be doing it for almost the rest of my life. Maybe try some other things in between, but I feel like it's now I am a triathlete, so that's going to be my main thing. Then maybe try some other thing, mix it up a little bit during the years, but yeah.
Tell me a little bit about the your training regime in Norway, particularly now, this time of the year. It's not very conducive to be outside on a bike or running. You do have the cross-country skiing, but how do you keep yourself in tip-top shape, particularly when the weather's not good?
Well, it's easy to escape... Escape inside when the weather is how it is here right now. So during the winter, it's obviously a lot of swimming to improve that part. The bike quite a few hours on the trainer, of course. I actually do quite a lot of cross country skiing during the winter. So I. The bike goes away, and the cross country skiing is an alternative for that. And the running, it's just if you just get dressed properly, it's no problem running outside as well. And the tough sessions I do on a trainer, of course, as well. Yeah.
I know winters in Norway, there's not much sunlight around either. It can get pretty dark. That's not an issue for you?
Yeah, it is. It is quite dark, and at times it can be quite a little bit demoralizing and hard to get up early in the morning and out late at night. But we're used to it. It's how it is here, and and has been here for as long as I I have lived here. So, it's no problem.
Do you think it's a bit of an advantage? It makes you mentally tougher, knowing that you have to fight harder to get out of the bed in the morning. It's not waking up and it's blue skies and sunshine, that you really have to work hard to get what you want.
Yeah, it's really that's a good point actually, because it's not that easy to get out and get those good sessions in. So maybe the guys up here from Norway are a little bit tougher mentally than the other guys. It's actually shown quite a few times during the Norseman that really a lot of athletes that on paper are the strongest ones, they turn out to lose to the Norwegian guys who know the conditions and have been out a tough day before.
I'm sure. Tell me a little bit about sort of the lessons that Ironman has taught you in your career. I mean, you haven't been around the sport for that long, but you must have had some times where things haven't quite gone your way. But what are some of the lessons you've learned from the sport?
I think maybe the most important lesson is to never give up. To if things don't go the way I want them to go, it's just like keep up the work, the continuous work day in day out, and the trend will change. It's going to turn sometime. So either if it's during competition, taking like one kilometer after the other, or in everyday life, or during training, is just like being patient, doing keeping up the good work, and the results will come. That's the most important thing, I guess.
What's been your proudest achievement so far in the sport?
No doubt the victory in the age group in Kona 2016. That was beyond describable. It was I had never imagined that was possible, so it was the perfect day for me.
Let's talk about that, because you mentioned your first race in Sweden in Kalmar, going into that not expecting the chance to win a slot at Kona, and then going to Kona. Was it a case of you just wanted to go there and see how well you could do against the guys in your age group, or did you go in there going, you know what, I want to be on the podium, or I want to win the thing? How did you approach Kona in 2016?
Yeah, so the Kalmar was in 2015, and then I got a slot to Kona 2015. So in 2015, the first time, it was just to enjoy the trip, enjoy the spectacular event, and just be a part of it. It was I learned so much about the course, the climate, the crazy event that's turning the whole Kona and the island upside down that week. So, yeah, that was more of a learning experience, and it was so great to be there. So then the race was I was happy with the result, but I really wanted to do better. So after that year, I decided that I really wanted to go all in for the next year, and I set myself what I thought was a quite tough goal with top five in the age group.
Looking at that first one, what went right, what went wrong? I mean, the lessons that you learnt out of that first one to come back and perform the way you did in 2016?
Well, the biggest lesson was maybe to respect the conditions and to try to use the conditions to your advantage if it's possible. It's something special in Kona, and the wind and the heat, and also to not get too eager during the course, but stay patient, not attack too early, or just find the rhythm, not go too hard. But those were the main things that I picked up from that first year. And also, of course, just seeing the event and how big it is and how cool everything is when you're there made me maybe not use that much energy the next year.
From a time perspective, what did your times look like difference-wise between 2015 and 2016? I know 2016 you did a 9:26.57 overall. From 2015, how did you improve? Was it, tell us a little bit about the difference between the two.
Yeah, in total it was I improved 1 hour in total. Wow. So that's quite a lot. The swim improved 10 minutes, I think. Yeah. And the bike was a little over 20 minutes included. I had one penalty the first year, and the run was really strong this year. I improved with a half an hour or so. Yeah,
that's incredible. I mean, it's one thing taking an hour off your Ironman time when you coming in between 13 and 14 hours, but when you're doing sub 10s, I mean, that's an hour is a huge improvement.
Yeah, it was crazy. Because the first year I was there, I was actually quite happy with the result. It was a solid performance. Not top, but I really I had a goal of 9:45. I thought that was on a perfect day. That was what I could get out of it. So yeah, it was. Everything just went straight perfectly after the plan, and the plan was solid as well. So it was really a great day.
Yeah, you couldn't ask for better. How do you, now that you've had that perfect day, 9:26.57, how do you go back and improve that? Is it a case of there's gains to be made still? You feel you can go faster?
I still feel I can go faster because I'm quite new to the sport. And there's still room for improvement on training loads and technique and on every single aspect of the sport. I can still pick some seconds, some minutes. So it's not that difficult to find places to improve. So that's the beauty of the sport as well. There are so many aspects that can be better.
It's one of those things too. You talk about the perfect race, but let's be honest, there is no such thing as a perfect Ironman race because it's so long. There's always something, like you say, there's always something you feel you can do better.
Yeah, of course.
Unfortunately, right, I should say.
Unfortunately, yeah. But in that shape that I was in that day, or in that period of time, I think that it was the perfect race. Everything else was going according to plan, but of course you can always improve your shape, you can get better, but with those circumstances it was a great day.
Let's talk about preparing for Kona, particularly coming from Norway, because if I think Kona, I think hot, humid, windy. I think Norway, I think almost the complete opposite. I think cold, snow, it's very, very different. How have you adapted to the change in climate and conditions?
Yeah, I was quite surprised myself that I, even the first time that I handled the heat and the humid relatively well. It wasn't that big of a problem, but this year I arrived 9 days before the race. So with good time to adapt to the climate and also the 12-hour time zone change. So then you get the feel of the heat and the humid, and also I got some tough sessions in those conditions. That's important, I think. But it's also possible to do some preparations at home, stay in the sauna, do some trainer sessions with a lot of clothes on, and you can always make it hot, even though it's cold outside.
I'm sure. Christian, let's talk about advice you would give to someone who's possibly thinking about getting into the sport and maybe have just got in the sport. They've done the odd sprint and want to go on and do a couple of long ones. What advice would you give to somebody who's just starting out?
Well, I really, it's just like, you have to throw yourself out there and just try it. Start with an Olympic distance or 70.3, and do the big events, the Ironman events or the challenge or something like that. Because it's in addition to the race, you get an atmosphere and you get you get you get the whole package, the whole experience of triathlon. It's not only about the race and the result, but it's all the people inside the sport. It's all the people who are supporters come watch. It's the finishers. It's the spectators. It's everything. So you really should go to one of those big events, because that's what get you hooked.
Mm. Well, what do you think makes it so special? I mean, just hearing you talk about the event and the experience of what it is. Yes, it's tough to do an Ironman. It's long day out for the athlete. But you rightly say it. There's the atmosphere and the spectators and just the event itself. What do you think it is that makes an Ironman or a challenge event, particularly the Iron Distance triathlon, special?
Well, it's a tough question. I think they do. They really do a lot of right things. They make you feel a part of something, and it's not about only yourself and your performance. And first of all, you need to have some supporters, someone behind you. It's a team effort. And also, when you're out there competing with the other athletes, you feel like you're part of something together as well. You're not everyone helps each other if someone has a problem or anything. It's in addition to the competition aspect of it, it's really a team effort. So that's what I like the most about it.
Mm. You're obviously goal-driven. You almost go into every race. I get the feeling with an outcome that you would like to achieve. You're an Ironman age group world champion. What's there still left to achieve in the sport for you?
Well, as I mentioned, I always dreamed about the Norseman. I competed there this year as well. So for the upcoming season, that's the main goal. I want to be on top there someday. So that's one of my biggest dreams. And if things go well, it's still possible to go pro. So that's going to be the next step if things goes as I hope. Yeah.
It's interesting you talk about going pro, because that's one thing with an Iron Distance. Is it's not like a tennis or a football where in your teens you're looking and those are the guys and girls who turn professional. In this sport, you sort of get better with age. It's like a good wine, I think, and there's lots of time for you to decide if that's the way you're going to go.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. It's the best guys in the sport are maybe 35, around that. So I still have 10 years to go until that. So I have a lot of time to get on that level if I want to do that. So that's the good thing about starting early. It's a sport you can enjoy for a lot of years. Just watch the oldest age groups in Kona. 80 years or something, so it's incredible. Yeah. It's so cool.
How inspiring is that? I mean, you talk about 35 and how tough it is there. I'm quite excited that I've just moved out of that 35 to 39 age group, but the 40 to 45 is just as competitive. And like you say, you look at the guys in their 60s, 70s, and now 80s doing Ironman. It's crazy what the human body can do.
Yeah, it's really crazy. As you say, it's you just get you get better and better almost the older you get. I think with my time in Kona this year, I have to be like 50 or 55 to win the age group again. So all those guys in between, they are completely crazy. So that's also a really cool aspect of the sport.
Yeah, I'm getting worried because my strategy was to outlive everyone in my age group, and I don't know if I'm going to make it to 80. I'm afraid.
Yeah, you still have some years to go. Then
it's a long way to go. Let's talk about the sort of gains and how you look at it scientifically. You obviously made big gains from 2015 Kona to 2016 Kona. How do you analyze where you can get improvements so that you decide, you know what, I'm going to spend time focusing on that?
Of course, it's a lot about what of the disciplines that I have done done most of in the recent years. Swimming, I never did before I started in 3 to 4 years ago. So I still have a lot of things to improve in the swim. But that goes for the others as well, because as we talked about, you can always improve. Just look at the best runners out there. They run ridiculously fast. In relation to my speed, and also the bikers. So there's always things that can improve. It's the technique. It's the endurance. It's the strength. It's it's everything. For this season, I try to improve everything.
Let's talk about the plans for this upcoming season. You're obviously coming out of a long winter now. You've mentioned the Norseman. What are the plans for other races? Are you hoping to get back to Kona in 2017?
I don't think so. My main focus is the Norseman. Then I'm doing a full distance in Venice in June. And also the half distance Ironman event in Norway, in Haugesund, in July. So those are for now the main events that I'm going to participate in. And then we'll see. I have the slot for Kona 2017. But the student economy doesn't allow trips for Hawaii every once in a while. So we'll see about that. Maybe someone knocks on my door with some money and then I'll go.
I love that. Let's talk about what you do. I mean, you mentioned you're a student, and I think a lot of people think, gee, that's amazing. You get to train all day, but you've obviously got a pretty busy studying schedule as well. What's the plan career-wise? I know you mentioned possibly turning pro, but what's the plan if that doesn't happen?
Yeah, I'm writing my master thesis right now on mechanical engineering. So that's what I do in addition to training these days. So I'm finishing this summer according to plan. So if I'm not going pro, then I'll start working in the industry. So we'll see. Hopefully I get some good results before then, and then I can make the right decision.
I was going to say, what's going to be worse, getting a real job or turning pro?
Getting a real job, for sure.
I love it. Hans Christian, thank you so much for joining us here on the Kona Edge today. Much appreciated. I look forward to getting you back on to talk a little bit about the individual disciplines and how you've improved those. But I love sharing your story, and thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Kona Edge. Don't forget to connect with us on social media. Simply search for the Kona Edge.